When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmar, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome in to the CHGO Blackhawks podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook because it's awesome. Download the app and use promo code CHGO when you sign up. Welcome in to Mailbag Wednesday. It doesn't flow as well as Mailbag Monday, but we got to do what we got to do here. I'm Jay Zawoski with Greg Boyson and Mario Tirabassi. Thanks for joining us. If you're watching on YouTube, please smash that like button for us and gently hit that subscribe button. You want to be nice to the subscribe button. And if you're listening on the podcast there, make sure you are following or subscribed there as well. We got a lot to talk about today, fellas. We got a lot of questions from everybody. If you are not able to get one to us via Twitter at CHGO underscore Blackhawks or on our Diehards Only Discord or our email, feel free to hit us up in the chat and we'll do our best to get your questions answered there as well. Let's get it started, Lawrence. We've got a lot of questions kind of on the same big topic here today. This new Fanatics deal with the NHL. So
yeah, I'm going to hit you with the we have one of our Discord members, Bob B. He says, "I'm sure you'll talk about it on the pod. But curious what your thoughts are on the Fanatics deal." And then his second part is, let's just get into the Fanatics deal, and then we'll take the second part of this as a part two.
Wonderful.
Okay, go ahead, guys.
Mario, the floor is yours.
It sucks. It absolutely sucks. Look, like, I understand that it's probably going to be fine in the long run, and it's a long run, 10 freaking year deal. And, you know, a lot of people are saying, like, oh, well, people were all in upheaval about the helmet ads and the jersey ads and the ads on the scoreboard, and you get mad about it for a week and you forget about it. I don't think that's going to be the case, because now we have 10 years of Fanatics making the jerseys, at least. And I have refrained from buying things from Fanatics because I read online reviews. I take people's opinions into consideration when looking for, you know, products like that, materials and everything. You can go up and down the internet and find thousands of stories of people getting bunk materials on their Fanatics deals. Jerseys with the wrong numbers, with the wrong names. And you get the hell stories of customer service with Fanatics. It's just, they have this monopoly on all of the leagues and their fan shops and everything. And it's just like, it's like if everyone said, like, oh, this burger shop is terrible, but there's billions of these burger
but
shops.
But it's the only burger shop.
But it's the only burger shop in town.
Oh, you mean Burger King.
Sure. Yeah. There you go. So I just, you know, from everything that I read and heard from people who are deep into the jersey game in hockey, it seems like the facility that makes the on-ice player jerseys is staying the same.
Yeah, until what, 26?
I believe so.
Yeah.
And the deal is going to be that with Adidas, what you couldn't do was buy what the players wear. You can buy almost what the players wear as the authentics, and then the replicas were made by Fanatics, and there was a difference between those two. Whereas when I remember Reebok, when they had the jerseys, you could, when you bought an authentic, it was authentic.
A nice authentic.
You bought what the players were wearing, and then the replicas were somewhat different, but there was still, they were still really good material. My Patrick Kane jersey from many years ago was a replica from Reebok, and you put it next to an authentic, and yeah, you see some differences in the stitching and the logos and everything like that, but the materials were pretty much the same. The quality was really good. It didn't like fall apart or anything. People are saying their Fanatics jerseys are like letters and logos are falling off. Like it's just such a pure NHL
really
move. This is the NHL on Versus. This is dumping Gatorade for BioSteel. It's just a complete NHL move. To you had the availability of Nike to want to do this, of CCM, which provides the jerseys for the AHL, which are great quality, a very well known and capable company in the hockey world. You had Warrior. You could have gotten them from Bauer. Like, so many companies that you would probably have a little bit more trust in, but you go with a 10-year deal with Fanatics. That is such, they are going to be making the jerseys for when I'm 43 years old.
That's still younger than I am now.
I was going to say. Right.
Yeah, shut up.
Bastard.
Just, you guys remember, it's just for my own.
Remember Stephen Barry's? The old, like, you'd go to them and
yes.
You get like a $5 Illinois sweatshirt mm-hmm. at Stephen Barry's. It was like this discount college outfitter where you can get really generic. That's as if Stephen Barry's got the NHL license.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and really, it is like it's you go into your local Dick's or wherever you're going to find a jersey and you see the Fanatics stuff. And it doesn't look good.
No.
Like, it's one thing, like you mentioned, your Patrick Kane replica. It really, the replica versus authentic really stands out on the Hawks jerseys specifically because the stitching on the logo and the stitching on the shoulders is so intricate mm-hmm. on the authentics. But most teams don't have that level of intricate stitching on their jerseys, right? So you put them side by side, like, okay, it's a little different. Maybe it's ironed on instead of stitched on, whatever. But you walk into a store and see a Fanatics jersey and you know right away, like, it looks junky. And I might be wrong on this, but I think I saw the barber pole jersey mm-hmm. and I like went to, I'm like, oh, that's, I hadn't seen it in a store in a long time. And I looked and I might be wrong. I might be crossing memories here. I am old. The inside of the jersey is white. Whereas like, you know what I mean? Like, so it's almost like it's painted or
like a different
or
material
something.
On the inside of the jersey.
I don't know if it's different, but it's not the same color. Like, it's almost as if it's like computer generated.
3D printer.
They're dumpy. So I had the same reaction as you.
Yeah.
Obviously. I think we all kind of had the same reaction.
Not really.
The only thing that that gives me
you need.
A little bit of hope is Greg Wyshynski wrote about this yesterday. Nike is the official outfitter of Major League Baseball. But Fanatics has made MLB's Nike-branded uniforms for all 30 teams since 2017 when it acquired Majestic. In total, Fanatics makes close to 100,000 MLB uniforms each season. Fanatics also makes authentic NFL jerseys that carry a Nike logo, which are sold online and in stores. So, from what I understand, are they saying it's the on-field uniform for Major League Baseball?
That's what it sounds like.
That's how I'm reading
like.
It, right?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Or basically, Nike pays Fanatic to make the uniforms and, you know,
which
it's
outsourcing.
Like, it's a Fanatics. It's Fanatics makes them through Nike.
Right.
Right.
Like, Nike has outsourced those uniforms to them.
And I've seen and purchased. Actually, I think my Cubs jersey is a Majestic. But I've seen authentic jerseys in person. They seem okay. Mm-hmm. Haven't heard players bitch about them. Haven't seen fans really. The only complaint I see is like the Cubs jersey authentic has a weird like long butt on it.
Yeah.
So it tucks into pants. So it's almost like another layer has been stitched on.
Kind of like what they did with the Reebok jerseys.
Yeah.
They had that tail.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So that's the only thing that gives me hope. But just in general, you're right. It's such a typical
NHL move. That's why there shouldn't be much outrage. It's par for the NHL.
Be better, though.
Gary Bettman doesn't want to be better. He just wants to make money. That's all he cares.
But aren't you going to make more money if you go with CCM or Bauer or Warrior or whatever? Aren't you going to make more money because more people are going to buy jerseys because they look good? Maybe the NHL said we had Adidas and no one bought them. Okay.
Well, I think with the problem there is I think the marketing decisions that they made were backwards because Adidas, their biggest thing was the reverse retros, right? That was like the Adidas was going to like, they were going to make all these designs and they were going to be awesome. Most of them weren't. The problem was they wanted those reverse retros to be special, right? So they made fewer of them. So they'd be rare. If you want to make money, don't you, off of this thing that you're big, it's your big thing and you're promoting, don't you want to make a bunch of them so more people will buy them?
Look, you walk into a Richard's Sporting Goods and there's orange Bears jerseys everywhere. I've not seen the reverse retro.
Because no one's buying the orange ones because they're awful.
Well, I know, but they're there. They're available. Right. You know what I mean? Like, they're available like the next day. It's all part of a bigger NHL problem.
I don't understand the outrage, to be honest with you. And that might have to do with the fact that I haven't bought a hockey jersey of a current player in like 10 years. And I kind of don't really plan on buying one anytime soon.
That means all of yours are Reebok, which are really nice.
Some of them are even older than Reebok.
Yeah.
Until they come out with their actual product, let's like hold the pitchforks and torches at bay. Like, sure. Everybody hated when Nike took over. Everybody hated when Reebok took over and Adidas. And guess what? It's all still okay. It's still the same game on the ice. Like, I know people are worried about the quality of the jersey they're going to purchase, and that's important. Part of the fun
hockey,
of being
hockey
a fan
jerseys
is getting
are
a jersey.
Expensive
yes,
as shit.
Yes, they are. Here's my thing. Let them, maybe now that they have the actual contract with the NHL, they're going to get held to a higher standard. You would hope.
Yeah. You would hope.
So let's just wait and see what they come out with once they're in charge. Maybe it gets better because, hey, we can't screw this up. This is the first time we're getting this. We're not going to drop. Maybe Fanatics has a different mentality than the NHL does and say, this is our chance to get better and bigger. Mm. So let's not screw this up. Let's just give them a chance before we say it's going to suck.
I mean, the fact too that like they're sticking with the same manufacturing plant that Adidas did, we're probably not going to see many changes. And one thing I did see, and I'm not sure if it was Wyshynski or not,
but I think that's only for where they're made for the players. I don't think that's retail.
Oh, maybe. So that's the question: is if you buy an authentic from Fanatics, is it an on ice authentic or is it authentic?
I don't think that's going to be. That's going to be the case. I think it's going to be like Adidas, where you buy an authentic. It's a really nice jersey, but it's not what the players wear.
Okay. Well, the only thing I saw that like indicated a major change, and I don't remember where it was. I apologize. Something about material that would be more resistant to a skate cut, which is like being developed now, which
that's
indicates
good.
That they're taking the on ice or on field product seriously. Greg's right. We're not going to know for a few years, but I think just the bigger picture of if you go to shop.nhl.com, you are forced to buy
from Fanatics.
From Fanatics, mm-hmm. right? Everything you have comes from Fanatics. And look, I don't know how much the NHL has say on that, whatever. But like, because it's not just them; it's every league. I don't know. I just want it to be better. I just want it to be better. And it's just such a typical NHL thing to feel like they're settling. And I'm That's a big fan do. Of BioSteel. I like BioSteel. But when casual sports fans are watching a game and they see BioSteel instead of Gatorade, it's like, mm-hmm. it has this like USFL, XFL, NHL kind of like a feel to it.
Yeah.
And you don't want to feel like a second-rate league.
But they're okay. Gary Bettman has made it perfectly clear in his 30-plus years of being on the job. He is okay being a second-rate league as long as his bosses are making money. And that's why he's had this job for so long, because his bosses, the owners, are making money.
Yep.
He's fine with the NHL being a laughing stock of the four major sports. That he's made that abundantly clear for three decades. So none of this should be a surprise to any of us.
1992 is when Gary Bettman took over.
31 years.
Which was, at the time, considered like
Mario was alive. He was alive.
Barely.
The second golden era of hockey, right? Lemieux, Jágr, Roenick, Chelios, blah. Yeah. The EA Sports video games. Since then, what's the arrow been pointed on hockey in terms of the national spotlight?
Doesn't matter. The owners are making money.
But they could be making more money.
They're making
enough.
And
this is what pisses me off.
They're satisfied making what they're making.
Then they're stupid.
I'm not arguing that. You are 100% correct. I'm just telling you the facts of why he's there.
Look at the growth of the NBA and NFL. Look at the
growth. They're not interested in it, apparently.
Why?
Because they're satisfied with where they are, which is stupid, but it's the fact. They're satisfied with being.
I refuse to believe they're satisfied. When we talk to people like Jamie Faulkner and Danny Wirtz, I can't imagine if you got them over a cold beverage, they'd say, yeah, we think the game's in a great spot. It's not. It is not in a great spot. They've got TBS. They've got ESPN, which is great. And ESPN Plus is probably helping a little bit with exposure because people are like, what's on? All right, I'll watch hockey. Mm-hmm. Right? But since I became a fan in the early 90s, hockey has gotten less and less and less popular. And the ad that they show that features the NHL video game saying the new golden era is here is true. Mm-hmm. But who the hell knows about it?
No.
Who is jumping on and watching hockey now? They're not.
It's not. It's not grabbing people like it should, because it's. I say it all the time. And it's not original to me, but it's the best sport run by the worst people.
Yeah.
Like at least the biggest league in the world is run by people who have. Just poor decision making and poor. It's yeah. To everything you said, there are ways for the sport to be marketed and distributed and accessible. And it's just not.
Here's a reason why the owners are satisfied where they are. Not all of them. I'm sure there are some that want more. I'm sure the Blackhawks are, hey, I hate this salary cap garbage, especially since we're trying to rebuild again. And we might, you know, here's why, because you can own a team in whatever that's not selling a ton of tickets and still make money because you have a hard salary cap. And the bigger you get, the more people are watching you, the more money you're going to have to start shelling out for those players, which means less money in your pocket.
Yeah.
It's pure dollars and cents. Why they don't want to get any bigger. Should they? Yes. Can they? Absolutely.
There's just so much more money to be made for them, though. It's like they can't even comprehend that.
Well, most of these guys have enough money that their grandchildren 8 times removed never have to work a day in their lives.
Yeah.
So they're satisfied with getting their tax loopholes and their, you know, whatever else they use their NHL team for that none of us could ever imagine. They're satisfied exactly where it's at. I only have to put in $80 million a year on this team? Cool. Oh, wait a minute. If we get bigger, you mean I'm going to have to spend double that to get good players? I don't know. I'm not interested.
Yeah. All right, well, 18 minutes for the first question.
So actually, technically only the first half of the question, because Bob also asked, how would you rank jersey makers, Reebok, Adidas, CCM, et cetera, et cetera?
I would do CCM, Reebok, Adidas. And I was a big fan of the Nike jerseys. I thought they looked good.
I would put CCM at the top just because it's more of a nostalgia thing. Reminds me
of
the old
days. Yeah, for
me, it's
classic, yeah.
Like, my first couple Blackhawk jerseys were CCMs.
I got my Savard jersey. It's got the fight strap and
so
everything.
So there's
people who still have and still wear their CCM jerseys from the 90s at Hawks games. Like they're made well.
I want... like either Dirk Graham or Steve Larmer, somebody from my childhood in the 90s, but I refuse to get a non-CCM jersey because to me, that's not authentic. Like, I'm not going to get the Adidas Steve Larmer jersey because he never wore that jersey.
Right,
so then I would feel like a fraud. So I, you know,
hit the old eBay machine.
Got to see what Gunzo's has left in the back.
Yeah, maybe. I think, you know, for me, I never had. That's not true. I did have a CCM jersey. It was the first one I ever had.
Yeah, your snug one.
Yeah, one I wore the other a couple times actually. I think for me the Reeboks were made really well. Like I said, I've had those for a long time. they stand up well. The Adidas ones were made well.
Yeah,
the Authentics were made well.
Good colors. Vivid.
I have no problems with Adidas how they were made. I think some of the designs were pretty crappy, but at least the materials and how everything held up is pretty nice. Never had a Fanatics one, and we'll see if I ever have one.
Yeah. Well, you got 10 years to decide.
There's one more year of Adidas jerseys, so
I'm gonna
hopefully the Blackhawks land Bedard and everyone can get their Adidas Bedard jerseys and be good for the next 10 years.
I'm going to get you one for your 40th birthday.
Sweet. Maybe they'll figure it out by then. That's 7 years from now.
You have 40 Darren Pang.
Sure.
Why not? Yeah, that sounds good. Well, that first segment, that made me want to drink.
Sure.
What should I drink, Mario?
You can crack open a cold one from the beer sleeve, and it'll be a Goose Island beer, the proud beer sponsor of us here at CHGO and Chicago's beer since 1998. You want to talk about good designs? Take a look at our cans here on the table. You got the Blackhawks Pale Ale in that black can. Looks great. Tastes great. You got the Bull City 312. Both of those are limited releases from Goose Island, and they are not limited in how good that they taste. Of course, you also have the No Plans Pale Ale in that nice spring green can. It's going to be coming in handy after April 13th when we have no plans for the rest of the season. And, of course, the gold Goose Island 312, the staple of their roster. Of course, also the Bourbon County Stout for the dark beer fans. The Beer Hug IPA series is delicious, I hear. And hey, if you want to try any of these delicious Goose Island beers, you can go to one or both of their two local locations because they are open and ready to welcome you. You can grab a beer right from their innovation tanks at the Goose Island Tap Room located at 1800 West Fulton. Or if you like to pair a smash burger with your beer, you can do that. Get a fresh beer of the week at the original Clybourne Brewhouse at 1800 North Clybourne. For reservations and pickup, go to gooseisland.com/locations.
We've only got 6 home games left for the Blackhawks. 6 games left this season.
6
at the United Center. If you want to go, you want to use Game Time. It is the hottest new ticketing site that makes it easier than ever to score the best deals on tickets to sports, concerts, and shows. Ever dreamed of sitting in a seat you never thought you could? 50-yard line, courtside, right behind Luke Richardson. You can do it. It's possible with the Game Time app. The biggest last-minute price drops can be found on the seats you thought you could never buy, and you won't find a better deal this season on Blackhawks tickets. It was created by the fans for the fans, and Game Time guarantees you the lowest price. I'm looking ahead here. Next home game is Sunday against the Canucks. That's $31 gets you in the door, but as the game approaches, those tickets get cheaper and cheaper. The 28th, Tuesday, Dallas at Chicago, $18 gets you in the door. New Jersey, that's a hot ticket, $43, but still, these are well below face value, and it's always smart to keep an eye on the Game Time app and website to see those ticket prices as they go down. If you love CHGO, then you will love Game Time. The best way to support us is by buying your tickets through the link in the description. Click that link, bookmark it, so anytime you're looking for tickets, you make sure you use our link to save. Join over 15 million people who have downloaded the Game Time app and score the best seats to all of your favorite events.
Here's a before we get to the next question, this quote from Connor McDavid just comes across my timeline from Chris Johnston of TSN, and he just put a bow on that last conversation about how the NHL needs to market itself better. It's from Connor McDavid talking about last night's World Baseball Classic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Otani Trout showdown for the ages.
Yeah.
That's what we've been asking for in hockey for a long time, right? Best on best. Look, everybody's talking about baseball and you see the Otani versus Trout, and that's what hockey has been missing for almost a decade now. That's coming from Mr. Personality himself, the world's greatest player, saying, please give us something like that. We're begging you.
It hurts my heart.
The players want it. The fans want it. Do it.
You had the Olympics, but that's gone.
It hurts my heart.
Yeah, 3 o'clock in the morning, right, or in the middle of the season. I'm not interested.
To hear Connor McDavid say what every fan and every player wants and knowing it won't happen.
Yep.
It
Give
hurts.
Us the World Cup of hockey in September before the season starts every 3 years, every 4 years.
Under your own control.
Yes.
You don't have to worry about the IIHF.
You
don't have to worry about the IOC. You control your own
Do
tournament.
Just like
you
the
make
World
your own
Baseball
money.
Classic during training camp. You do it in NHL arenas.
This guy's
it's so simple.
NHL cities where NHL teams and players are making money. You do it every two or three years, four years. It's just uh-oh, that table needs some Roman.
Yeah.
No, that's you're fine. Look, and I will say this, like, as much as we kind of like make fun of the hockey culture, those guys are going to want to play. Connor They're not going to say, I'm going to skip it. I'm too big of a name. I make too much money. No, the best players will play in the World Cup if marketed correctly, if done, you know, in a reasonable place, in a reasonable time. You get guys, instead of preseason games, have your stars play in the World Cup.
Yeah.
Connor McDavid doesn't need to be in Oilers camp.
Yeah, no. You know, the guys that are going to play in that tournament are going to get as much out of
more
practicing at that tournament, playing those games, than being in training camp
those
and
guys
playing
are, those
preseason
are the guys
games.
That play maybe two preseason games the whole preseason.
Right, exactly. Right.
And yeah. They'll start training sooner. They're not just going to go into a cold as if it was the preseason.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's, and sure, there's the risk of injury, but there's the risk of injury every time
there's
they step onto the ice.
There's a risk of injury waking up and getting out of bed every morning.
Sure.
You put yourself at risk if something bad happens. At least I do.
It'll be a complete shame, and we're running out of time, if McDavid and Crosby and Kane and Matthews never play on a U.S. team together or a Canada team together in a major tournament. Men's World Championships... La-di-da. Like, we're talking about
still
the
talk
best
about
tournament.
The Canada Cup with Gretzky and Lemieux on the same
right,
line.
Right, exactly.
People still talk about the Summit Series, right? 72? Yeah. No, that's
well,
two different 80, things.
Yes. The Canada Cup 87.
87, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, like,
people still talk
or
about
it. Even that 72? World Cup of Hockey, what was it, 94, where U.S.?
That was great.
Upset.
04?
Tony, was that...
No, it wasn't 04. It was 94.
It was 94.
96.
96.
Yeah, 94 was the Olympics. 96, where you had Brett Hall and Tony Amani and Team USA pulling off that upset over Canada. I mean, yeah, those are great things. Let's do that.
All right, let's do more questions.
When they did it in 2016, it was fantastic.
I loved it.
Team North America.
Team North America was my favorite.
Yeah, it was great.
Still, USA, Canada, Sweden, Finland, Russia. Let's go. How hard? This should not be this difficult. All right.
It shouldn't.
Who's next, Lawrence? Sorry.
This is from Dan Hines. He says, in previous episodes, you guys have talked about the simplicity of Richardson's system. I'm curious that when the talent level is higher, will he change it? Or more simply, could you guys discuss hockey systems and their impact on the game? I'm still learning a lot about hockey, he says.
Well, look, hockey in general is not the most complicated. It's not like the Rams offense when Kurt Warner and Isaac Bruce and Marshall Faulk were running wild. Like, it doesn't really get that complicated.
No, protect the puck, get shots on goal.
Yeah, even in the heyday of the Blackhawks, you would hear analysts saying this Blackhawks power play is struggling because they're not keeping it simple, right? I don't think you're going to see his system change very much. Keep in mind, there is flexibility within the system. If you've been watching Lucas Reichel lately, you see a lot of times where he'll go in his own, he'll peel off, he'll look for the pass. It's all about breakouts. It's all about entering the offensive zone. And then from there, the creativity is allowed to sort of thrive. And... yes, when you get more talented players, the team will look different. Now, because you've got, you know, third and fourth lines, basically, it's going to look a lot more simplistic than it would in 3-4 years, hopefully, when this talent starts arriving and free agents start getting signed and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the simplicity of what he's doing now, when you have more talented players, will allow for that talent to rise to the top. Where if you keep the assignments simple, if you keep, you know, these guys have played a lot of these simple games, simple systems for the most of their life. It's not necessarily that they're learning something new or doing anything new. They're just doing what they've known for so long. That's where that talent and creativity can then, you know, show itself. And when there's a more talented roster, we'll probably see. It'll look like, oh, look at this, you know, what they're doing is so intricate or whatever. It's like, well, it might just be the guys are just,
exactly,
they have simple assignments, so they know what to do, where to be, what to do in situation, you know, A through Z, but they just let their instincts take over beyond that.
Yeah, I don't see him changing much per se as the team gets better, hopefully, with a more talented roster, but as you just said, it's not necessarily, it's when the players that get more talented, those little nuances you see are the players kind of doing their thing because they're better players. So they can react differently. They can make plays that Joey Anderson can't make. They can make.
How dare
player.
You?
Well, not yet, you know.
Yeah.
I know that's your favorite pie face player.
He is very pie face.
Well, and when you see hockey get more intricate and complicated in its system, you get Jeremy Colliton.
Exactly. It's not, while it seems complicated to a new fan, because there's all these things going on at the same time, it really is a simple sport. And it, sometimes you need to go all the way back, like Luke Richardson's done, and just say, we're starting as if this was, we're back in, you know, U13 hockey.
Yeah.
We're just going to do it simple. And as we get good at being simple, then we can try little things. But I don't think his system is going to go over any kind of real major overhaul. I think he's just going to keep it simple.
Mm-hmm.
And as his teams get better, he's just going to let his best players be his best players.
If you want us to very simplify it, Jeremy Cowan, if you will, to go football terms, played a man-to-man defense, which is really dumb in hockey. And most other teams use a zone style thing where someone's responsible for an area more than a specific player.
Or the box plus one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Meanwhile, he had his guys chasing the same guy up and down the ice. That's why your defensemen were at the blue line, and there was an undersized winger standing in front of the net going, oh, my God, get me out of here.
Yeah.
And, yeah, meanwhile, the goals are being scored while Duncan Keith is in the neutral zone because his guy was like, hey, I got an idea. I'm going to let their best defenseman chase me all the way out to the zone, and we'll score a goal.
Yep. Smart. All right. Next.
Well, this sort of dovetails off that combo. Okay. Jay Arthur asks, what's the confidence level you have in Luke Richardson to coach a Stanley Cup-level team, assuming the Hawks get there in 3 to 5 years?
That's what he's here for.
Yeah, I there's nothing I've seen from him that would indicate to me he's not capable of that. He's done it. He has coached the Stanley Cup final game and won that game. What do you need to win a Stanley Cup? Talent?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Depth? And you need to keep your team engaged and listening. So the coaching part of that, we've seen, is pretty secure. If he can keep this team focused, this team listening, and this team growing, that is losing, has one of the worst records in the game, has traded all of their name players, and they're still engaged, I don't think he's going to have any problem doing that with a contender.
Yeah, no, not at all. I think he was brought in here not to be a placeholder. He was brought in to see the rebuild through and be the guy that when the the contending years are back, the plan is for him to be here. So I think we haven't seen anything that would indicate that he couldn't handle it.
Right. All right, we got another one? I know we do.
Oh, we do. And first of all, I just wanted to mention that you guys do look good today.
Thank you.
Go to the chgolocker.com and get that beautiful vintage.
Also available in a t-shirt.
Oh, my gosh. He's
dumbing
got
him down.
That's ridiculous. That's amazing. Okay, next up.
That was a mistake, by the way. I just grabbed a black shirt.
Amazing.
Like, oh, it happens to be the same one I'm wearing over.
All right. Yaroslav Sissy, SpaceX, Spotcheck.
Spotcheck.
Sure. I just went with the sissy part of it. Anyways, Connor Murphy has quietly had a decent season given the tank circumstances. Do you think there's a greater chance he'll be dealt over the offseason or be a Blackhawk to start at the start of next year? P.S., why hasn't anyone talked about Galvis? Thought he was high on the prospects board last year.
Yeah. I mean, Connor Murphy is just, he is the epitome of steady. He's not flashy. He does his job. He doesn't pick up a lot of points. He stays at home. He defends and goes home and does it again, you know?
Yeah, yeah. We got Dark guy here with a shirt. Out,
but he's got a shirt on, so it's not...
A shirt or a robe?
It's a zip-up hoodie. He definitely
he's
put
shirtless
that...
shirtless under that
He definitely put that zip-up hoodie out there to have that.
That is
not quite spring yet. Shirtless Dark guy still has a shirt on.
That's a look with the zip-up hoodie with no shirt. I mean, he does that
exactly what he's wearing. Yeah.
All right, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt, but we haven't seen him in a while.
Spring is on its way.
Yeah, that's a good sign.
But shirtless Dark guy, please go to the CSGO locker and get yourself a t-shirt.
Sure.
We need to give him a gift membership so he can... partake to know that he's like one of our
mascots,
one of our cast members here, you know.
Basically.
It really is. We need a Dark guy cam for the summer.
Yeah,
I totally didn't
legal.
Mean to steal Sissy Spacek's question thunder here. No, Connor Murphy, sure, I'm sure if there were some offers this summer, Kyle Davidson would be listening, but you know, with all these young defensemen coming up, you kind of need that mentor veteran guy. You have Seth Jones. But Seth Jones and Connor Murphy play different types of games.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's good to keep him around. Obviously, if someone gives you an offer you can't refuse, you take it. But, you know, you can't really just – you got to have some veterans here, especially when most of your top prospects now are defensemen.
Yeah.
And learning from a guy like Connor Murphy is a good thing. And Connor Murphy is a Luke Richardson player.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he plays the same type of game that Luke Richardson did. So I don't think you know, I don't think you'll see him traded, but again, never say never. As far as Galvis goes, again, I think he's just one of those guys that just is getting lost in the shuffle because there's so many talented young defensemen coming up through the system. And he's been really good in Rockford. He's leading defensemen in assists this year. I think he's second or third on the team in assists overall, but yeah, leading the defenseman in scoring because of his assists and playing solid hockey. I just think he's one of those guys that's just kind of like he's older and kind of gets looked over because you're excited about these young guys coming up. And yeah, I'm not sure why he hasn't been called up to get a look yet this year.
Last year he had a handful
had a
of games.
He was great in preseason last
year. And he looked completely fine at the NHL level. I think it's just a numbers game. And you know, he's older at what, 23, 24 years old.
Yeah.
But you know, I think the like we talked about kind of with Ian Mitchell the other day, and we brought up Nicholas Beaudin. Like these are guys that I think just are getting pushed down based off of, you know, the talent that's coming in and the numbers game. And yeah, there's going to be more spots open next season at the NHL level. In theory, Connor Murphy is going to need to be there because you need a guy that's in a leadership role,
yeah,
a guy that can kind of help guide some of these younger players, and a guy that's going to give you, you know, a consistent effort night in and night out. So you can't just take all the prospects and the Rockford IceHogs and throw them into the NHL and expect things to go well. As far, and even from a development standpoint, that's really not how it works. So you need guys like Murphy to be in those positions for those reasons. And yeah, I think Galvis is just, he's a fine player. Like I think it, in most cases, like I would be fine with him coming up and playing some games. He might be one of those guys where towards the final few games of the season, he gets brought up from Rockford to be like, hey, like you've had a good season here. Like have a couple NHL games, come back down. I just don't know what his future is.
Well, even next year is, you know, some guys are going to get forced out of spots with Del Mastro and Allen likely joining Rockford. If there's someone they want to spend a little more time with, then Galvis could be a guy who can come up here. He's not really going to hurt you.
No.
I don't know how high his ceiling is. I don't really think he's going to get much, much better than he is already, but why not give him a spot, give him a look?
He's an RFA after this year, so we'll see.
That's, yeah. Yeah.
Him and Alec Regula are both RFAs, so we'll see what happens.
Does Roos have one more year?
Yes, Roos has another year. Maybe the fact that they haven't been bringing him up, as we've mentioned, with like why Ian Mitchell is playing, because they don't think he necessarily has a long-term future. Maybe the reason he hasn't come up yet is because they want him to get that full season in Rockford to get better, because they think he has a future. But we'll get a better idea of where they think he fits this summer when in that RFA comes up, if they want to bring him back or not.
I would love to ask Kyle Davidson a lot of these questions.
One day.
Still working on it. All right, what's up next?
Well, speaking of asking Kyle Davidson questions, Sean says, if a team comes up to Davidson and is willing to trade its first rounder, say 8-12-ish, for Lucas Reichel, do you make it? Reichel is a nice prospect, but a top 12 in this year's draft might end up a better player. Example, Moore, Jaeger, Leonard, Sailwood.
Keyword there is yes. Might.
Might.
Yeah. You got a pretty good player right now who's probably going to get better. So why trade it for someone who might be just as good or better 3-4 years from now? I'm cool with, like, no, I'm all right. I say thanks, but no thanks.
A boat's a boat, but the mystery box could be anything. It could even be a boat.
It could be a boat.
It's true.
You have a really
you
good
have Reichel,
young player.
He's not even able to buy alcohol in this country. Like, give him a few more years.
If he needs
years.
Some, he could ask me. I'll do it for him. I'll be that
guy. That is illegal,
there
my friend.
There you go. Hey, don't show the police this episode. Look, like, I know we've gotten so focused on this draft class and thinking about, like, oh, well, it's so deep and all these guys and blah, blah, blah. Like, Reichel's a really good young player. And if you take him out of the equation, then you take a step back.
Yeah.
Remember too, you have very few forward prospects.
Right.
At least that are NHL ready.
I mean,
hopefully you're going to get a whole bunch more.
Yeah.
In July or Nazar. End of June. Yeah. Got Nazar, you got Green, yeah. You got
yeah.
You know, none of their like
Sammy Savoy.
None of their forward prospects that we are excited about right now are on the NHL roster next year. Besides Reichel,
yeah,
Kirschev, but he's not a prospect anymore.
What if
he's
you get the NHL fourth player. Pick? Would you trade four and Reichel for two?
If you get the fourth pick,
mm-hmm.
No.
If a team is going to say yes, I think maybe. I think you consider that.
I don't think the team at two takes that trade.
I don't think they do either. But
something to think about.
And I don't think any team at 8-12 is looking to give up that pick to get Reichel anyway. Maybe, but I just at some point you have to hang on to people and say these are our guys. And you're right. Trading Reichel sets you back another year at least. So how about we see if he's really good before we put him on the trade block?
Yeah, and we're getting a good look at him right now. This is the longest he's been up with the team for consecutive games. So we're getting a good look at him now. And every time we watch him, and we talk about it on post games, even if he's not showing up on the score sheet, the little things and the things he does away with the puck not on his stick are improving.
Yeah.
And that's what you want to see.
Really good video breakdown piece today from Scott Powers at The Athletic. We can't use video. We don't have the rights. But Scott did a great job isolating play with some analysis. So make sure you check that out today as well.
We are seeing the progression that we wanted to see from him this year. And then some. Mm-hmm. It's what you want out of your young players, that he's better now than he was the last time we saw him here.
Right. Yep. All right, who do you got next, Lawrence?
All right, Mailbag Wednesday rolls on with Cam, who asks, if there is a tie for last place, who get the greater percentage in the draft lottery? What stats are being used to slot teams in order?
I believe it's regulation wins, right?
I think, yeah. I would assume...
Regulation plus overtime wins are the second tiebreaker.
Yeah. Okay. Eventually, we get down to the two-legged sack races on...
I don't think anyone's going to have an identical record.
Just take them out and let them Rochambeau each other and see who really wants it.
What they do is they put Connor Bedard in the middle of the room, and then the two GMs are on the opposite sides of the room, and they just they try and coerce him to one side
like
of the room
old,
or the other.
Puppy.
Yeah,
two bowls of food in front of a puppy and see which one he picks, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's by regulation wins.
All right. Well, you got to read that.
Speaking of
which is good, tiny, that Columbus won in overtime last night.
Yeah, hey,
let's go, Columbus. Good work. Speaking of Connor Bedard, yes, this obviously I don't know where you guys made
that's
this
an email.
From. It's an email. Okay, yep. This is from Matt in Kentucky. He says, "Hey guys, thanks for all you do. Question on the top teams that could land Connor Bedard. What team would or could ruin his development? For me, it's Columbus or Arizona. Take care, y'all."
I don't know if you can ruin his development.
Oh, you can.
Oh, yeah. I think it's Columbus,
if you try
Arizona.
Hard enough, you could.
But, I mean, he's just so good that I don't think, like, I think you'll ruin his prime years by not putting good enough players around him, i.e. Connor McDavid.
That's the thing.
But you're not ruining his development. Like, he's already a star player.
So why don't we answer it this way? What is a better outcome for Bedard, Arizona or Columbus?
Chicago.
Yes.
Right. Chicago is always the answer.
Well, probably Columbus, because he'll get to play with
Johnny
Gaudreau.
They've got NHL talent. Yeah,
and they have a lot of good young players in their system. So does Arizona. I mean, think about
Bedard and Cooley on the same line.
Bedard, Cooley, center
Gunther. Yes, as far as I understand, he was drafted. As
and I think there's still some question on whether or not Bedard is an NHL center. I think that's what
if
everybody
he's not,
hopes.
Then let him be Patrick Kane plus a little bit more.
Yeah,
that's totally fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think. See, I don't think Arizona has an issue with developing. I just think they have an issue with
keeping.
With keeping.
Right.
But also, I think they've kind of swung and missed on some guys too. So I think it's finding the right player. Obviously, with Bedard, like you said, I don't think there's really much you can do to ruin his development. Or if he's you're not going to swing and miss on Connor Bedard. The missing on Connor Bedard is if you don't build properly around him. That's where I think Arizona may have the issue, but they do have a good prospect system coming up. So does Columbus. So does Chicago. Like, they're all, I feel like the futures of all of those teams, at least in their system and on their, in their prospect pools, are good. It just kind of then comes down to what do they do on the ice and in the front office.
Right. But yes, Chicago is the best situation for Connor Bedard.
Yeah.
There's agreed.
A little doubt about that.
Yep. No doubt.
Next.
All right. We are moving right along here with Tom Quinn. Who says, do you guys think Korchinski has nothing left to prove in juniors? I know they can't send him to Rockford, but if he's not quite ready for the NHL and nothing left to prove in Seattle, it seems like there's no other option.
If he's not ready for the NHL, then let him bum slay in juniors another year. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I'd rather him be
big fish in little pond.
Yeah, absolutely. Then
get his confidence destroyed at
yeah,
the NHL.
Then get his head beat in the NHL.
Yep, over-ripening is never a bad thing.
And, if, you know, you send him to juniors next year again, which I think would be completely fine. He gets another opportunity to be the guy on Team Canada for the World Juniors, which he most likely would be defensively. And that's a good confidence builder.
Right.
So I think if he's not ready, no reason for him to have to be ready. It's not like next year it's going to be, you know, your NHL blue line is Korchinski and Allen and Del Mastro and Kaiser. It's not going to be all those guys. You don't have to bring them all in at the same time. You know, Allen and Del Mastro are a little bit older. They can go to the AHL next year. Totally fine with that. Korchinski, if he wants to, you know, be the captain in Seattle and lead the team in points and all, nothing wrong with that. That's good for him.
You let Korchinski, if he plays really good in preseason, you let him play the first four or five games of the season, you have 9 games.
Yeah.
If he's proven that, like, hey, okay, we can't send this kid down. He's dynamic. He's great. He belongs here. Fine. Also got to remember, you send him back to the WHL. That first year of his contract moves along to the next year.
Yep. Yeah.
And somebody just said it in the, as Steven says in the chat, you've got to spread out those contracts on the books.
Mm-hmm.
So sending him to the WHL gives him another chance to dominate. World Juniors, all that awesome stuff. And it's pushes back having to re-sign him another year,
mm-hmm.
which are things you really have to think about when, you know, you're in this situation and you know damn well that's why they burnt the first year of Reichel last year.
Yeah,
yeah.
They're already thinking about those things.
And it's not just, you know, burning the first year, not just to stagger the contracts, but it's also making the bet of, well, if we push it a year, he'll be more developed, and then at the end of it, he'll be more expensive too. So they're going to be able to get a cheaper bridge
they
deal.
They could technically re-sign him, they can extend him this summer, correct?
Reichel? Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He'd be silly to do it. I'd be like, yeah, hell no.
Yeah, but they could always say to him, like, we'll give you $4 million, you know, right, instead of a potential $7 million
right,
in 2 years or whatever, and mm-hmm. the Hawks are saying, like, yeah, we're going to bet on you, and he's going to say, I'll take $4 million right now. That sounds wonderful. Sure.
Yeah.
And you know, his agent gets on the phone and say, not so fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe Reichel's like the NHL owners. He'll be happy with just enough.
There you go.
Not one anymore.
Hold your breath.
That would be wonderful.
Get all the money you can. Nothing's guaranteed.
All right, we got one more question from the old mailbag.
Yep.
And it is from Joe, pizza lover, Hawks and Canes. He says, if Taves retires, who is next in line to be captain?
He's not on the team right now.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think the next captain is on the team.
You can hand it to Seth Jones. I don't think that's the route to go, though.
I don't think he wants it. Has he ever been a captain?
Not in the NHL.
Not in Nashville, not in Columbus.
But he wore a letter in Columbus. He's worn a letter here. I think the organization almost as a courtesy to Taze wouldn't just be like, oh, here's the next captain right away.
Regardless, it's vacant next year.
Yeah.
I think there's 3 or 4 A's. And they do not have a captain next year.
Yeah.
And then your next captain is someone that you have identified as someone who will have it again for 8 to 10 years.
For a long time.
Reese Johnson.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's if Derek King had his way. But you could look down the road, right? Like, if they get Bedard or Fantilli, they can very much go the Taves route with one of those guys and just say, your team, let's go.
Yep.
Lead it.
Yeah.
You look at somebody like Ethan Del Mastro, who's had a leadership role for Team Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Even
both,
like
both the junior teams.
Remember, your captain doesn't have to be your best player.
No.
No.
Like, it doesn't have to be that way. I could have, if Jake McCabe was still here, I could envision a place where Jake McCabe is a captain, right? Like, yeah. Connor Murphy has captain-like qualities to him.
Yeah.
He's not a Norris Trophy candidate. You don't have to be a captain.
No. I mean, look at the...
Richardson was a captain.
Look at the Hawks' history of captains.
Right.
It's not chock full of Hall of Fame, yeah. Famers. Troy Murray was a captain.
Alexei Jamnov.
You know, hey, you know, Bobby Hull was never a captain. You know,
well, Stan Mikita was there.
Well, because Stan Mikita is
captain material.
The greatest human. He's just a captain of a human being.
Yeah.
But like, it's never. Just look at the captains around the league. It's, you're right. It's not the best. I love that our listeners are getting in on the bits. Yeah.
Nate says, "What about Entwistle? He's been able to make it this far with no family." Self-determination, perfect for a leadership position.
I wonder if anybody has told McKenzie that we have this joke at his expense.
He said it.
I know he said
it. He said, I don't have a family.
There's a sound clip of him saying
it
somewhere in there.
But he didn't say it. Oh, yeah.
I don't have a family.
We ran with it.
Yeah. There you go. Austin Matthews.
Yeah, I like Stevens. Yeah, Austin Matthews. Sign him.
You know,
sign him and give him the captaincy.
McKenzie Entwistle is the very definition of a replacement player, right? Like,
sure.
He's fine. I have nothing against him. The team seems to love him. His teammates seem to love him. He's a guy who can wear a letter.
He's a really
good
locker room guy.
He's a fun guy. Yeah. He has fun and keeps people loose.
Green for
and I think he's a guy that knows exactly what he is.
He knows his role.
And is like, God, I'm playing in the NHL. I'm like the luckiest dude on the planet right now. I'm not going to waste a second of this.
Yeah, he is.
He has not taken any of this for granted.
He learned that lesson his first year in the AHL under Derek King and it was just told, like, look, like, this is what's going to get you to the NHL. And he's stuck with it. And look, well over 100 NHL games already. He's still 22, 23.
And
like
the first time I saw him that opening night in Rockford, I paid attention to him. I was like, oh, okay, this is that kid people were talking about. We got in the host trade.
Mm-hmm.
After that first AHL game I was covering, I was like, this kid's never going to play in the AHL. He can't skate. And then, but by like Christmas time that season, I was like, holy cow, this is a different player. So he is good for him. I all the success, as much as we joke about the no family thing, every time he has some success, I'm happy because he deserves it.
I agree. Hey, we want to remind you that DraftKings is the official sports betting partner of CHGO and All City. They've got those great NBA same game parlays. Major League Baseball starts in 9 days, 8 days, 9 days.
We are down to 8 days. Oof. It is Thursday of next week.
Get those spring training bets in. I got both Chicago teams with the over. Get those home run leaders, Cy Young winners. All those great things are all available on a DraftKings Sportsbook app. It's great fun. And just play along. As the Hawks season winds down and you're not really invested in the wins or losses or the players, bet those game lines. Bet those first time goal scores. It's a great way to stay engaged as the season winds down on your bad team. Download the app now and sign up with the code CHGO. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA, with code CHGO. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See the show notes for details.
And you know what else you deserve? You deserve to save money on your energy bills as well. And the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program is committed to helping families and the businesses and the communities they serve save both money and energy. ComEd offers free assessments that can help find energy-saving opportunities, whether it's lighting, HVAC systems, commercial kitchen equipment, or industrial processes. An authorized engineer will work with you to develop a detailed assessment plan specific to your goals and needs. These can be done in person or virtually and last approximately 2 hours. Within 3 to 4 weeks, customers will receive a report detailing energy efficiency projects that they can start working on when? Immediately. Each recommendation will include estimated energy savings, project costs, potential incentives, and simple payback. Don't wait. Get started saving money and energy today. For energy saving tips or to schedule your free facility assessment, go to comed.com/poweringbiz, B-I-Z, Powering Biz. Ready to sign up for a facility assessment? Call ComEd at 1-855-4 832-333-2700 during normal business hours to speak to a ComEd Energy Efficiency Program representative, or you can email businessee@comed.com or request an assessment online at their website, comed.com, facility assessment.
All right, we've got some chat questions we want to get to before we wrap up the show. Just a few minutes left. Who's up first, Lawrence?
First is Ken. He said, here's a question. Are you hearing anything about Taves' post-playing days? Does he want a coach or something different to stay in the game?
I haven't really heard it much.
Yeah, I don't know specifically.
We got to kind of get to his post-playing
days.
Yeah,
I think that's the first.
I know that that's kind of that's been in the news, but if I feel like he's going to have any opportunity he wants to stay in hockey, yeah, if it's front office, if it's behind the bench, like if he wants it, it'll be available to him.
I don't foresee any scenario, as long as he's healthy, where Jonathan Tate is not involved in hockey one way.
Or he just like rides off into the sunset.
I don't see him becoming, I don't see him becoming Pavel Datsyuk and moving into some weird monastery or something strange like that.
That's right.
I see him wanting to be either coaching or a scout or a general manager somewhere in there, player development, front office job. And listen, all Jonathan Taves, when he gets to that point of his career, of his life, all he has to do is pick up the phone to Rocky Wirtz, Danny Wirtz, anybody, whatever extension he picks in that office, say, hey, I want to be on board. And they're going to say, yes.
Sure. Absolutely.
See you Monday morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here's your office.
Yep.
Yeah. I think anything that, because he is a guy that thinks, I think, differently than most other NHL players. I think he's done a lot in his personal life to kind of set up post-playing career and things that he's interested in and wants to do. I think he's just kind of got that mind for the game on the business side of things. And, you know, Steve Yzerman, Joe Sakic, those are guys that he looked up to, and those are both guys that have had some success as front office members.
And also wore number 19.
The other nice thing, too, is, like, with the Dynasty Hawks now their career is starting to end, you can kind of reinvent the ambassador role, right? And even if it's not coaching or scouting or GMing right off the bat, and maybe not, this isn't even specific to just Taves, but like go out in the community, help communities, learn about the game, learn about the sport, go to schools, introduce kids who don't have the opportunity to play hockey, help them get that opportunity. Like you, instead of just being the, I'm going to visit the skyboxes and I'm going to wave and kiss babies and shake hands and everything, you can actually give them, reinvent the ambassador role into something truly meaningful.
Jonathan Taves talking to Chicago public school kids about nutrition and fitness is like perfect.
Right.
And he's done that.
Yeah.
So
like just keep that
Keep that up.
Yeah. And then you can always find kale. Like the Chris Kunitz role for him where he's on the ice every practice helping people out.
That'd
like,
be fun. Yeah.
That's
the
job I want. The dude that just makes passes
pucks in the drills.
No pressure at all.
I feel like I might not be as effective at that job.
Probably
as
not, but you know, I could wear the tracksuit.
That'd be fun.
You can, absolutely. I want mine to be velour though.
Yeah, it gets wet and
like a
poly
walnut. I'm damp all day anyway. What's the difference?
Winnie City is just kind of dovetailing off this. He says, if Taves does retire, could there be a chance he plays the season finale to get his well-deserved thank you by the fans?
But again, he hasn't even been on the ice yet, and we're, what, 3 weeks away from that game?
Yeah. 6 home games left.
If he's not on the ice in the next 5 days, it ain't happening.
We talked about it when John Dietz's report came out, and it says, you know, it's said in there that the organization is kind of making some preparations in case Taze does say, like, look, like I have to retire, to kind of honor him at the end of the season. I would be shocked, especially knowing Taze, the kind of competitor that he is, I would be shocked if he's not ceremoniously suited up for that game. Goes out there.
I'm saying
like he'll actually play. I think it might be he plays 10 minutes. He's in the starting lineup, takes the opening faceoff, gets that ovation. Whatever the score is at the end of the game, he's on the ice to finish it. That I would be shocked if it came to the point where Tay says, I'm retiring at the end of the year, my body's not cooperating, blah, 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 if he's not in that lineup.
How quickly can a banner be stitched?
I don't know.
I mean, I'd be the banner template for Taze and Kane and Keith and so on and so forth. Already. Those should already be made. They just got to stitch in the years, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting, and when do they play? They don't play the Sharks again this year, do they? Damn, it'd be really great if they could just do an hour-long Jonathan Toews ceremony before the game.
Let him talk for 50 minutes.
Save it for next year.
The problem is, I don't see Jonathan Toews talking in public for 45 minutes.
Jonathan, your thoughts on Jeremy Colleton?
Oh, there you go.
Then maybe.
That's 45 minutes.
No,
45 minutes or one long glare.
Worst comes to worst, we've got four chairs, and if Jonathan Toews is looking for work, we can slide a chair over here.
He knows a little bit about hockey.
We can zoom out a little bit, right?
Yeah. We can definitely do that.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
How many more we got? Two more?
Just a couple more here. By the way, Ryan did say he wishes that Johnny could teach him about nutrition and fitness, which I do find funny.
Yeah.
VMJR.
I know about it. I just don't care.
Where do you think the Blackhawks will end up by season's end? Top spot, second, or third prior to the lottery?
Second.
I'm betting second.
Probably second. Though Columbus could get on a nice little run here.
Let's hope.
Hopefully last night was the start of like that awful four-game winning streak that nobody wants.
Uh-huh. I think you lit the fire under their cold ass.
If the Hawks finish worse because Columbus goes on a five-game winning streak, everybody owes me something.
I'm buying a Boysen Fanatics jersey.
There you go.
There you go.
Except it's going to say
Ronick
on it.
It'll disintegrate while being shipped.
It's going to say Boysen.
Boysen.
And
it's the French version.
I believe this plays perfectly off what you just said there. Mount Mill 08. After Mario went on a rant about Boston and Greg went on a rant about Columbus, is there a team Jay would like to rant about?
Oh, man. I feel like Greg really took care of it for all of us with the Columbus thing. And not really. I don't have any. I can rant about the St. Louis Cardinals.
Sure,
that's the wrong show. Cody's
got
job.
That covered, yeah.
I don't want to steal Cody's gig here.
Yeah, that's his job.
You can always find time to shit on the Cardinals.
I don't really
shitting on the Cardinals is like a.
We've been crapping on Nashville Predators all year.
That's fun.
I can continue that. Like, just figure out what you're doing.
You have to pick your assignment if you choose to accept it.
All right.
You have to pick one playoff team that you hate. And go on an angry rant about them.
Mm. All right, let me look at the current standings. It
shouldn't
sure
be too hard. You should be able to pick out a team. Vegas.
All right,
can you do Vegas? That would please me.
Toronto.
That was Minnesota. He likes Toronto. He's weird.
Yeah.
Greg couldn't yell about Toronto.
Yell about any team you want.
How about the Jets?
They might not make the playoffs.
What problem do you have with the Jets?
They should have the Taves hometown team.
They should have won a cup by now.
Should they?
They should have been better many, many times.
Because they had Paul Maurice for 2 years.
I know. I don't have hatred in my heart.
Good
Things
for you.
Are bad enough as they are.
Good for you, Jay. I appreciate that answer.
Yeah, Cody is standing behind you with a lot of money.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
I know. Yeah.
You're trying to buy your way on the show to rant about the Cardinals? We'll put you on.
I heard he's wearing the right shirt.
He's throwing money at us like we're strippers.
I mean,
keep talking bad about the Cardinals. Single, single, single.
Cody got the email today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Cody. Is that it? Are we done?
Oh, we're good.
All right. That was a lot of fun. I love mailbag shows because they fly by and we don't have to do a lot of work.
I know. You guys do our writing for us.
We appreciate you. Reminder, we are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app and use promo code CHGO when you sign up. Tomorrow, post-game, we'll be here. Join us. It's going to be a lot of fun, probably, maybe.
Also. Hopefully.
Hey, we get to see the great Trevor Van Riemsdyk.
Almost
as good as Nicholas Jarmelson, I hear.
That is going to be a can't-miss pregame. Want to tease next week. Not official.
Uh-oh.
Not official. But next week, there is a likelihood that we will be talking to at least one of the people that we talked about on today's show.
Oh.
Who that is up to you.
Cody Del Mendo.
To speculate. Yeah, Cody's going to be on the show.
Yeah.
But yeah, we should have more information and a definitive answer by the end of this week.
How do you like producing? You enjoy it?
Me?
Sending emails, waiting for responses,
getting
them.
That's second nature. That's what I started with.
Yeah.
That's what I started with in sports radio.
Well,
so.
See, you started that. You've got a long career in that. It means I don't have to do crap.
I'm happy to.
No, you're good.
Happy
you're
to. Good. Hand just that roll over. Goodbye.
Just sit there and look good.
20 years is more than
that's
enough.
That's all
thank
I know
you.
How to do.
Yep. All right, Lawrence. Thank you, man.
Hey,
by
you're
the
very
way,
welcome.
Shout out. I noticed that you went into one of the questions
and
cut the name Reichel and pasted it over the name Rachel, which was a misspelling on one of the
pictures. I noticed that too.
So I want to make sure on the show I shouted you out for that.
Wow.
That is some handy Photoshop work that otherwise would have gone unmentioned that no one else knew happened. But on that one question about Reichel, it said Rachel first, and Lawrence cut it and pasted it so it said Reichel in both spots.
Talk about Rachel, too, if we want.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well done.
I was like, who's Rachel?
That's why he's the best in the damn business. So is Steven. They're all great. All right, fine. I don't want to pick a favorite.
All right, fine.
But I love them all. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow night after Hawks and I forget who it is.
Capitals.
Capitals,
yes.
All right, three more goals for Ovechkin. We'll talk to you then on the CHGO Blackhawks podcast.